Almighty God, without whose help labor is useless, without whose light search is vain, we, the unworthy servants here gathered together in their name, do most humbly beseech thee to send them their heavenly wisdom from above to direct and guide us in all our deliberations and laying aside all private interest, prejudices, and partial affection, the result of all our counsels may be the glory of their blessed name.
Honorable members, the time is now past 10. I move that SO5 to be suspended to commence the business of the House.
Honorable Bundu, is it accidental or prearranged? Any seconder?
Mr. Speaker, I shall second.
Honourable members, it has been moved and seconded that SO5 to be suspended so that the business of the House may commence. It's been past 10. All those in favour say aye. All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Record of votes and proceedings for Thursday, 17th August 2017.
Honourable members, we'll go to the record of votes and proceedings for Thursday. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6 and page 7. There be no corrections or amendments. Will somebody move for the adoption of the votes and proceedings for Thursday, 17th August 2017?
Mr. Speaker, I so move.
Any seconder?
I so second, Mr. Speaker.
There will be moved and seconded that the votes and proceedings for Thursday, 17th August 2017 be adopted. All those in favor say aye. Those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Record of votes and proceedings for Thursday, 17th August 2017 has been adopted. Motion. Proposer, Honorable Francis A. Kaisamba. Seconder, Honorable Patrick L. Kabu.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, be it resolved that the following reports, which were laid on the table of the House of Parliament on Tuesday, 11th April 2017, be adopted. 1. Report on a working visit to the Parliament of Ghana by a delegation from the Parliament of Sierra Leone from 19th to 24th June 2016. 2. Report on a working visit to the Parliament of Uganda by a delegation from the Parliament of Sierra Leone from the 30th October to 6th November 2016.
Any seconder?
Mr. Speaker, I so second.
Honorable members, the question is that the following reports, which were laid on the table of the House on Tuesday, 11th April 2017, be adopted. 1. Report on a working visit to the Parliament of Ghana by a delegation from the Parliament of Sierra Leone from 19th to 24th June 2016. 2. Report on a working visit to the Parliament of Uganda by a delegation from the Parliament of Sierra Leone from 30th October to 6th November 2016. Yes.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the delegation to the Parliament of the Republic of Ghana comprised of three members of parliament, the clerk of parliament, director of finance, and the head of PACO. A delegation to the Parliament of Uganda comprised of the clerk of parliament, head of PACO, and director of finance. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the purpose of the visit to these two sister institutions was to do a case study of how they've been managing their research materials, particularly on public financial management and legislation. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, Parliament across the globe have traditional functions which they perform in lawmaking, oversight, and representation in order to ensure transparency, accountability, and open government, and to hold government, the executive, accountable in how it implements in policies, to ensuring that the needs of the people are achieved. In doing all of this, Parliament therefore perform very key functions. One, in ensuring that there is openness and transparency in government delivery services to the people, to equally hold the government to account through the various committees that are being created for oversight functions, to ensure that government live up to their responsibilities of human rights and rule of law and financial probity. It is therefore but very important and key that Parliament is availed with very important information devoid of the executive. And for two key reasons why Parliament should have this information. Parliament does not have professionals, I mean in financial management, an expert to advise Parliament on how document, how cumbersome they may be, the budget that come to Parliament for scrutiny. Rather, many a time, Parliament rely on the executive, professionals in the executive, to guide us. And everywhere, for example, this information are available, Parliament but just should complement its effort, but should not rely wholly and solely on those pieces of information from the executive. And therefore, the visit to these two sisterly countries was very important and viable. In Ghana, for example, they have been on it for quite a long time doing research, and their research institution is very strong in providing the required information to members of parliament in holding the executive to account, to scrutinize their budget, to scrutinize international loan agreement, and other statutory and legislative instruments that will come to parliament. And they are providing those pieces of information to support the Parliament of Ghana. In Uganda, for example, they have been on it for quite some time, but in 2001, they were able to propose a motion to 200 members of parliament, and they were able to pass the parliamentary budget, which comprised of the parliamentary budget office to support members of parliament of Uganda to be able to hold the executive to account. In Sierra Leone, we have parliamentary committees that were created by standing orders in tandem with the 1991 constitution. And year in, year out, we go out to hold the executive to account to ensure if monies given to them are being used judiciously and efficiently in helping the people of this country to realize their dreams. But we must accept that we do not have the required expertise and professionals to guide us to do our job properly and thoroughly and to examine exactly all of what the executive is doing. And so, we have been faced with difficulties on how to hold the executive to account properly. Many a time,
Even the budget process in Sierra Leone is cumbersome, it's difficult, it's complex for members of parliament to understand or to go through rigorously if we want to prove a point. So therefore, it is but very important for the parliamentary budget office to be created, which will provide an independent research that will be very important and necessary for parliament to be able to do its jobs. If, for example, such an office is to be created in the Republic of Sierra Leone's parliament, they will basically revolve around key instruments. For example, there will be something like what we call legislative scrutiny. Such an office, once created, will be able to analyze legislative instruments that will come to parliament to help members of parliament draft bills, for example, private member motions, and so forth and so on. They will equally help members of parliament to do what? Financial scrutiny. We look at a lot of documents that come to parliament, emanating from the budget, from international agreements signed by the executive, other instruments. We do not have the wherewithal to really look at this document properly. So while such an office is created, they will be able to provide the required expertise for members of parliament to be able to scrutinize financial documents coming to parliament. They will equally do what we call bill costing. Many a time, bills come, even the estimates are not really available for MPs to look at it so that they'll be able to know what is happening. They will do all of those. They'll be able to analyze reports so that government programs that have been implemented will help MPs to analyze whether those programs have been implemented properly. For example, healthcare services, infrastructure, housing, and so forth and so on. In doing all of this, the Parliamentary Public Budget Office should revolve around the following requirement. There must be what we call legal establishment. For example, with regards to what we shall be doing just now, if this document will be adopted, it will have the legal basis so that institutions or persons coming after will not have the authority to just change because it is not favoring them. We equally have what we call staffing. Such an office to be effective, they have to be competent and professional staff to man, look at public financial management, to look at the drafting of bills, for example, and highly professionals, trained people. And in this context, for example, the PACO office in the Republic of Parliament office is working with the parliament to sign a memorandum of understanding so that they can send in advertisement for professionals and qualified persons to apply for such an office. Such an office should be non-partisan because you are talking about highly professional, trained people to be able to help and aid members of parliament to do their jobs properly. So no politician should be involved in such an office. And over and above all, the role of members of parliament, because all of this is being created to enable and aid members of parliament to do their jobs diligently. So if members of parliament do not collaborate or do not work with all of the information provided, it will be meaningless. So such an office, members of parliament should be involved, they should do their job properly, they should use information given them, for example, to supply budget, to look at international financial agreement, and so forth and so on. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I think with all of the above advantages profile from the Parliament of Ghana, the Lord of Uganda and Sierra Leone, you must agree with me that the Parliament of Sierra Leone is but deficient in carrying out its job properly with regards to scrutinizing and holding the executive arm of government and ensuring that we do our job properly in the best interest of the country and the people of Sierra Leone. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I should move that Be it resolved that the following report, which you are laid on the table of House of Parliament on Tuesday, 11th April 2017, be adopted.
Yes, Patrick.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, as stated by my colleague from Kenema, the two visits were very essential to the Sierra Parliament based on the experiences and documents received from those institutions. It is important that, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, that on a regular basis, members of Parliament pay regular visits to sister countries to see how Parliament is functioning effectively for the development of those countries. The experience in Ghana and Uganda are so key to us that when once those institutions' examples are followed here, I believe we are going to have a better system that will give us a better Parliament and members that we appreciate and accepted by society as a whole. Like he stated, the establishment of the Parliamentary Budget Office is very key to development of Sierra Leone and Parliament in particular. Like I highlighted, we do pass budgets most times members of Parliament are not involved. We are only given the opportunity to debate, and even the debate period is not more than enough. We are just given 5 days. We, to some extent, will not be able, members of Parliament, to go into depth to know about what's been stated or what's been brought before us by the Minister of Finance. In those countries, as mentioned, from the start of budget processing onto the appropriation bill, members of Parliament are always involved in whatever is done for a better budget to be brought before Parliament. But here in Sierra Leone, it's very difficult. Members of Parliament are most times not involved. And this budget is normally debated by members of Parliament, which makes it very difficult for members of Parliament to understand the details of that budget brought to us. And therefore, the visit to these sister countries, if it implemented in Sierra Leone, will give us a better standing for us to know what's being done and what we're able to tell our people, so that the Parliament as a whole be recognized as an institution that is part of nation building. Like he stated earlier on, members of Parliament are very more important to know the procedure and process that go on in that kind of activity that goes around the budget implementation. And therefore, Mr. Speaker, it is but necessary for members of Parliament to play a very active role in the budget process. As representatives of the people, it is important that participation fully in budget process is influenced, so that we know the various allocations that are being sent to various MDs, so that during the implementation process of the allocations given to them, members of Parliament could be aware that short and short money is given to an MDA for proper implementation, so that we see how we are able to develop the country as a whole. Mr. Speaker, all members, it is but necessary for the Parliamentary Budget Office to be well equipped. In that sense, we know we have the expertise, but employing them could be a very important thing, so that when once this office is established, we know we're going to get a better staff that will help to build a better Parliament that will be accepted, not only for us in Parliament, but Sierra Leone as a whole. As a basis for that establishment, I believe Parliament or members of Parliament play a very key role, so that we can have what we really need for a better Parliament and Sierra Leone. With that, Mr. Speaker, I want to second the motion proposed by my colleague and that for members of parliament to adopt it. Thank you very much.
Yes, Honorable Ellen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, Honorable Members of Parliament, I want to thank the Honorable Member that has just presented the report to us, and to thank the team, particularly the Clerk of Parliament, that went on these missions. As stated by him, it is really very important that we make these visits to other parliaments. One of the key issues I have with these visits that we make and all the lessons that we learn is the fact that, and I'm going to put it as a question, do we actually implement them when we come back home? And to a very big extent, my personal answer is no, we don't. And so, what essence at the end of the day do you sit and ask, what essence is it for us to make these visits? It is very vital, based on all that he has laid out here, that we've heard, that it is very important that we have this kind of institution that they went to visit and want to replicate here. But the problem is, are we willing and ready to put our shoulders to the wheel to set it up and implement it? One of the things my honorable member said, my honorable colleague said, is that we do not have the institution or the manpower. Yes, we do. They may not be enough, but honestly, this House of Parliament do have those institutions, Amen. And we do have the manpower. It is just that the manpower is not affecting itself or putting itself to the services that it what should put itself to effectively to give us the result needed. That's the issue. However, that institution or the manpower that we have could be expanded. I agree fully with you. And it could be elevated or expanded to a point that we may perform probably more than what we are doing. But there is that institution here. It is the only problem is we are not utilizing it. Now, coming to the budget we're talking about, times without number have I stood in this well, and other members of parliament have stood in this well to say that members of particularly the finance committee and other committees that are vital to kind of working with the budget process should be a part of it. Because what has happened, what that does is just what all of my colleagues have been talking about. It will take away the issues that we are having or the problems that we are having and even facilitate our own efforts in terms of when we are looking at the various budgets. But no, budget preparations are done without any input from parliament, when in fact at the end of the day the budget is being approved by parliament. So figure it out, honorable members of parliament and Mr. Speaker, with all due respect, if we were a part of the process, how easy it would be in terms of ratifying or doing whatever we could do to make the budget process easier. We could even help the MDAs in terms of covering the areas that should come up as an effect when in fact they shouldn't. The other issue, the other thing I wanted to talk about is the fact that the Honorable Member mentioned that Parliament will benefit, that members of Parliament specifically, and my colleague on the other side mentioned that members of Parliament will benefit from these kinds of venture, etc. Undoubtedly, it is true. But let me ask a question, and let us go to the very beginning. All you Honorable Members sitting in here, there are like 112, 120 something now, or 20. How many of you members of parliament sitting in this well have offices? Let us put the leadership aside. The leadership is not part of this quotation. How many members of parliament have an office? And let me say this clearly, and let this go into the records, that when you want effective performance from any organization or any employee, you have to provide an enabling workspace. I've said this over and over. You cannot hire me and want me to provide my maximum or put out my best potential when I do not have the enabling work environment that will give me the opportunity to provide the best. That is the problem we have in this House of Parliament. And honestly, some people might not see it as an issue, but I do. And I'm pretty sure a lot other members in this house see it as an issue, because for me, performance relies on what you are giving, the assets or whatever, the environment you are giving, the resources you are giving, the possibilities you are giving to be able to perform. So when people sit out there in the public and say, members of parliament are just rubber stamping, let me just make this very clear. We have a pigeonhole out there. When we come in the morning, we have zillions of documents packed in there. We pick up those documents, we have to go through them. We don't have offices to sit in and go through those documents. Some of us take them home, we pack them in corners, we pack them in boxes. By the time the bill comes up, when it is laid on the table and it is time to debate it, you cannot even find that document anymore. So we sit in here. We sit in here not having a clue of what is being said. That is true, Honorable Members of Parliament. You all know it. So when we are talking about these issues, it all boils down to what the clerk and the honorable members went to do is finding ways to improve our capacity building. But please, Mr. Speaker and honorable members of parliament, in order for us to build these capacities and to improve them, let us go to the very beginning. Provide work, enabling work environments and spaces for members of parliament before you start saying, let us shoot for the skies. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, honorable members. I just want to buttress and correct maybe a few observations made by colleagues on this item in the agenda. On the area of the implementation of good lessons learned from sub-regional parliament and the area of implementation, I want to submit that, yes, we do implement some, and maybe few, and we don't implement most. And I'll just draw attention to two important lessons we learned from both Ghana and Uganda that is of benefit today here. And fortunately, Mr. Speaker will bear me out, or those of us who were here some time ago. One of the topical one is the Parliamentary Service Commission. The Parliamentary Service Commission was as a result of a visit in the very Uganda Parliament that the benefits of that particular parliament that made Israeli own parliament to replicate that here. And that bill was one of those bills that was championed by the now President, His Excellency Dr. Anesbai Kuruma. And that visit, I think, was made by the Speaker, the former Speaker of this Parliament, the Honorable Justice Edmund Cowan, the Honorable Dr. Bernadette Lahai, and the Honorable Anesbai Kuruma, who was then the minority leader then. I just want to draw attention to that. Today, if we are enjoying the good benefits of a Parliamentary Service Commission in this Parliament, it was as a result of that visit. Then the second one is the votes and proceedings. If maybe members of the Public Accounts Committee, being chaired by the late Honorable Chukwuma Johnson, and I happened to be part of that delegation, it was during that visit that we saw the need for a for vote and proceeding, which it's actually a very good document for members' memory of things we have done and the things we do. So if on the area of implementation, I just want to highlight that as a way of not totally implementing what we do learn from others, and maybe the example of a budget office or budget, you know, being replicated here. I just want to highlight those two things. Thank you very much.
Swallow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honourable members, I believe I want to cue from where the honourable proposal of this motion ended, with the issue dealing with partisan politics. I believe the issue of partisan politics have eaten up the year and sense of this parliament. Mr. Speaker, honourable members, sometimes there are serious, very serious issues that come before this parliament, and we as parliamentarians trivialize it because of basic partisan politics. And sometimes it's not even in the policy proposal or document of the APC or either the SLPP. It only depends on who is coming here to present such a document. And either the APC will pick it up or the SLPP will pick it up. It only depends who presents what before us. So this is what I'm talking about, partisan politics. We are all here, we know we are here representing political parties, but sometimes let us be seen actually doing work for the people of this country. And also, if I want to talk about the Parliamentary Service Commission that the honorable leader just spoke about, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, if you look at countries where this research were done, conducted about the Parliamentary Service Commission, and it was implemented here as a result of those research, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, those countries did not choose to do all this research, go into all the Parliamentary Service Commission, which was actually replicated here, and just kept those documents on the shelves in Parliament. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, if you go to Uganda, Ghana, and even Rwanda, you can find out that, and even what we are seeing here today, it is all embedded in the Parliamentary Service Commission. If we just say as a parliament, we are going to implement what is in the Parliamentary Service Commission, there is no need for us to be even going around conducting other research. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, if you can just give the opportunity of few MPs, maybe five from that part, that side, and five from here, to do just an ordinary research, a desktop review, we can come up with a very powerful and blueprint document that this parliament could implement for the betterment of this nation. So I can say, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, just like the honorable Kuyembe said, it's not about just going out to conduct research, conduct studies, and come back, lay reports in this parliament, and we shelve those reports on the shelves of this parliament. And that has been the best practice of this parliament, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, there's other one thing I want to talk about. It's the way this parliament has allowed the executive to hold to ransom. This parliament has allowed the executive of this country, who have control over the resources, to hold this parliament to ransom, that nothing do happen to this parliament. It is very much unimaginable that you can see, when you see the executive even just going to go to supervise projects, to look at projects, if you look at their per diems, overnight per diem, Mr. Speaker, but they could not provide simple, basic oversight committee, resources for oversight, parliamentary oversight committee, to see what they are implementing. And Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I want to say it is very deliberate. It is not that the resources are not there. It is like we in Sierra Leone are dramatizing poverty, that we cannot even have resources to fix the foundation. And the foundation of democracy, the foundation of good governance, is this parliament. It's the parliament of every country, Mr. Speaker. So if we don't have resources to really fix the foundation, I don't think we can fix a country. Our country is never going to stand on a very good footing, Mr. Speaker. So I'm really appealing to the leadership of this parliament that we have to stand up. We have to step up as a parliament, that we really try to get a good foundation so that our parliament can serve the people of this country that we ought to be representing, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I want to say here that a couple of weeks ago, the Honorable Kemosise came to this well and made utterances here that there is nothing Parliament all over the world cannot do. And the only thing that Parliament cannot do is to change a man to a woman and to change a woman to a man. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, that's a food for thought for this Parliament. I rest my case. Thank you.
Style.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I want to give credence to the clerk and team for the visit they made and the presentation that they have done to members of parliament this morning. From the contributions made by my colleagues, it's really sickening to go through what is happening in the Sierra Leone Parliament. We need the enabling environment to work as members of parliament. We cannot be the people's representatives and we engage, because I don't call that place dining hall, we engage the canteen or dining hall as our offices. I met somebody at the corridors of the new building. Little did I realize that she was an intern. Going further, I met her sitting in front of a computer, intern, whilst I disembarked back to the canteen. That's sickening, so disheartening. Who are we going to blame? Who? This is a parliament where the Speaker of Parliament is the third gentleman of this country, but we know that there are directorates whose heads are more than the Speaker. They take home more than the Speaker. And you say he's the third gentleman of this country. It's very serious. It's very serious. When we go through the budgets, we see...
Benin has seen more in terms of remuneration. In terms of remuneration than honor.
We go through
Ibrahim,
the books
Ibrahim
of this country, and we find it very difficult to understand the take homes that this very parliament approve for some officers in some of the commissions and other directorates. This very parliament that takes home nothing more than $1,650 a month. This very parliament. $1,650,000 with your wife and children, dependents, no vehicle, not even a gallonage. It's sickening, and they are expecting a result. How does it come? Today we have a bill here entitled Food and Feed Safety Authority. Mr. Speaker, just as my colleague Helen was saying, not even 5% of members have that bill on their desk. Not 5%. So I start to wonder and ponder as to what we're going to debate here. The minister is going to come and read and will allow everything to, because the document is not in front of us. We expect those documents to have been looked at, maybe perused by our clerks and you know, those sort of things. It's just like.
Honorable Jango, then what are you saying? This is a bill that is to be debated very soon. Are you in fact saying that not everybody has a copy of the bill?
Mr. Speaker, I want to say it with alacrity.
Well, if I say it with alacrity, that is almost with certainty.
Mr. Speaker, I'm 100% correct.
Mr. Clerk, are we sure that everybody has a copy of this bill? The Okay, Honorable Jango, we'll deal with that issue when we come.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, proceed on time.
Yeah. So, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, we need to stand up as a parliament. We need to stand up as a parliament. Goals. For those of you who watch football matches, the goals come within seconds. The goals come within seconds. For some of us who will be fortunate to come back, and for some of us who may not be fortunate to come back, let us change this parliament. Let us change this parliament. Let me draw your attention to a very sad event. Today, we are here. Tomorrow, we'll have to leave. You should believe in the law of gravity, that whatever goes up will come down. Today, today as I stand here, the gratitude of our past leader will be calculated on his last salary. So we have to go for what we think is good for us. Whether or not you do the right thing, people always have something to say about you. Even when we take home $1,650, the public is giving people an exaggerated version of what we earn. And before I came here, I was of the same view. That members of parliament are taking home big things. But Mr. Speaker, I want to challenge members of parliament that we have colleagues here today who hire taxi and pura pura to come to parliament. So who do you blame? So who do you blame? The speaker? No. The leaders? No. Because many a time when these bills come, when we are on appropriation, the speaker is not there. And many a time the leaders are not there. So why do we want to play the blame game? Let us, one may be tempted to say that they may have the final say. And if they have the final say, about 100 of us, we have no reason to be this way. Who is going to say the eyes and the nays? It's us, members of parliament. And as the Honorable Swallow rightly said,
the nails and the eyes are said based on these colors. They are going to destroy this country. Let us stick Sierra Leone. We sleep Sierra Leone, we dream, and we wake Sierra Leone. Otherwise, we are not going to be on the run. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, Hassan. Hassan, 3 minutes.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I want to join my colleagues to contribute to this debate with reference to the visits made to these two parliaments, Parliament of Ghana and as well as the Parliament of Uganda. And again, with particular reference to the budget. Personally, I feel very strongly that I, as chairman of the Finance Committee, should be in the know of things, should be on top of it, and should be able to nominate at least 2 members of my committee to join partners with the staff of parliament to visit these 2 parliaments. I was not given that opportunity. But I cannot say it has to be done. What we say on the other side, pauper, it has to be done. But I believe reference has to be made to me. I have been to the Parliament of Uganda, as well as the Parliament of Ghana, on this same subject. The practice is about the same. Very tiny difference. Today, the World Bank Institute is about to set up a budget office in this parliament. Now it's a matter of time. I've been informed about that the early part of this year. So they are working on it.
Could be 2030.
They are working on it because very recently, if you take a walk to the parking lot, you'll see a bus dedicated to the Committee on Finance and Transparency. That bus was being provided by the World Bank in support of the operations of these 2 committees. What does that mean? The World Bank want these 2 committees to make their presence known to the MDAs as well as the council. There is one problem I notice in this parliament. We also have a responsibility to change our attitude. I say so because when I call committee meetings of the parliamentary committee members on finance, very few show up. Very few. And as recent as last week, myself and 3 other members of my committee took part in the budget discussion, the budget of parliament. Helen was one of them, and I had Mabinti Bangura on this side, was also part of the budget discussion of parliament. So to say from my colleagues, parliament is not involved in the budget process, that is incorrect. That is incorrect. We get involved in the budget discussion, our budget here in parliament. And we also get extended invitations from the Minister of Finance to have the Committee on Finance involved in the budget process at the Miata conference. When I received a call from Matthew Dingy, Director of Budget, and I wasn't able to locate any member of the Finance Committee.
Sit down, Mr. Deputy Leader. Mr. Leader, with respect to you, I hope, with respect to you, I hope you understand the import of what the particular member of parliament was saying in that respect. Well, if members were present, or if members are normally present in all of such discussions, then why is it that so much is not being done for parliament?
Thank you very much. And my answer to that is very easy, Mr. Speaker. You've seen in the past my engagement with the Minister of Finance, with the Minister of Finance in particular, in this parliament, and more so when we have the finance bill before us. You've seen my engagement, together with my colleagues in the Finance Committee. Why things are not done according to the wishes of the members of parliament is because down there we have ministers of government who are not cooperating with the members of parliament, particularly with the Committee on Finance. But we always make sure we make ourselves available in discussing the budget. That is the key, our presence in discussing the budget here. Can we have them to accept all that we submit to them? The answer is impossible. We can't get 100% of our request, Mr. Speaker. But much has been done from the time we took over as a government in 2007 to now. If you are clear with your conscience, much has been done from 2007, for some of us who were here in 2007, receiving a bare salary of less than $500. Much has been done. Because in 2007...
Order.
In 2007...
Mr. Leader, sorry. I will not allow you to proceed beyond that point.
Okay.
Yes. You, JB, representing the leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to say thanks to our younger brother on this side and our colleague Patrick from Cambia for presenting to us this morning a motion that's taking the stage in this parliament regarding the studies they had in Ghana and Uganda. Honestly, we have deceived ourselves in many ways, us parliamentarians. Deceived ourselves in the sense that we have three wings of parliament, of governance. We have the executive, we have the legislative, and we have the judiciary. The legislative is being watched by this whole world or by the whole Australia Union to be the body that can watch the executive. And it's written in our constitution. We do oversight. But that is the same body that is riding us back and front. We're talking about not having offices in this in our parliament for parliamentary members. We are talking of not having oversight fundings properly given to parliament on time for parliamentarians to do the oversight. We're talking about partisan activities within the course of parliament. It's rather very unfortunate. Every day in day out, down to this very moment, this morning, if you listen to SLBC, Fatima was there castigating parliamentarians because we've not done nothing and we are not even doing the right thing for this nation. Yes, see, we go study and we are not putting those studies into proper perspective. It is unfortunate. References have been made to the way the speaker is treated and the way every other parliamentarian is treated. Sierra Leone Parliament has come into existence since 19 I'm at 61. And down to this very moment, we're still dealing with the 1991 constituency, constitution that has not made proper provisions for the very parliament that is supposed to be doing the right thing for people. We are representing our people. Our roles are representation. Do oversight. We make laws. We make laws against ourselves. We allow the executive to ride us day in, day out. They are the new, for heaven's sake, we have the Minister of Health here now, ready for a discussion on food safety. He has a car. He has an office. He has a permanent secretary. He has nurses. He has everything. If he wants to leave here to go to Koribo, to my village, he has to be provided fuel, and he is going to drive a Land Cruiser. I'm driving at 2013. I'm a hybrid Highlander. How did I get it? Hard work on other sides. So, honourable members, the studies have been done. We appreciate them for it. But let me cue from where my big brother ended. Honestly, he being a chair of finance committee has made much of an effort. Well, can we allow him alone to do it? Have we given him the support that, you know, as parliamentarians, we don't take party sides to see that our conditions are properly put in a proper perspective? No. We sit here, when we want to castigate the Minister of Finance, somebody will come from the blues and say, hey, that man is my friend, that man has been doing well for this nation, that man is this. And yet, see, we are down there crying. We want to talk about offices. If the ministers are getting all this facility, sometimes each time we make requests, they say they are in a smaller number. What of us carrying?
Put your phone off. I allow you.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When we want to go for oversight, sometimes we go to the very ministries to give us, to support us. How can you really do that oversight in a proper form? Let me give you an example. And just about a few weeks back, we went for an energy oversight. The very funding came from energy department. We went to a particular village in the southern province. There was a bad job. Before commenting, the guys who are with us started lamenting, please don't do it. You understand? Futabeje. Because they provided their funding for us to go, what can we do? All we can say, go correct yourself. Honorable members, this parliament has to wake up. They were talking about budget. The clerk of parliament and the commission can go defend our budget. But have we really come up telling these people some parts of the budget of this nation has to come to parliament? Let's say 50%. As we are standing here always advocating for to look at the Maputo and my protocol for health, ask the Nigerian what to give health 15%. Let's make sure the budget of this nation, some percentage is being located to parliament rather than giving us the 8.7 million, which is the 62 million every day we are being insulted for. Take 62,900. For the constituency development, which is so much elaborated on in this nation, can that build one particular barrier? And yes, see, we don't want to say much about ourselves. I have visited myself and the chair of finance went to Liberia. Forget about Ghana, the Ghana and the Uganda. We went to Liberia. Liberia is taking $45,000 every 2-3 years for vehicle. Liberia is giving $65,000 for constituency development fund. Liberia is given a dress code, dress allowance. The members of parliament are given $15,000 per month. They have 16 staff, six staff. I pay my driver, I buy my car, I buy my fuel, and something to all of us. Yes, we sit here and say we are supervising or we are running an oversight on the executive. Where are we? Now, I appreciate my younger ones on this side who have really given a proper understanding about the way parliamentarians are suffering. So, I only want to say, honorable members, whatever efforts have been made, let's make sure for those who will be coming in and those who will be going out, let's make sure we look at Parliament as a wing of the governance of this nation. And let's make sure let's don't give ourselves up to the executive. The judiciary is not crying. They cannot insult them. They are implementing laws. They have issues to deal with, but we are the representative of the people, and day in, day out, the people are looking from us for us to take the national cake to them. And if that is the case, let's make sure proper offices are provided for us. Let's have researchers. Let's make sure parliamentarians are giving. Imagine we come into a debate the food safety budget. The other paper just came in this morning. If it's coming in this morning, how can we handle that? So, Mr. Speaker, I want to say thank you. I really want to suggest that let's make sure our parliament is a Royal Union parliament. Let's make sure provisions are given to this parliament for us to do our job properly. Otherwise, at the end of the day, day in, day out, they will always blame us. I thank you very much, and I'll ask all of us to adopt the program that's been before us. Thank you, Mr.
Speaker. Mr. Leader.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, this morning we have witnessed a very spirited debate following the motion for the adoption of the reports from Ghana and Uganda, and rightly so. But might I caution, however, that comparisons are odious and difficult to make, because there are differences between not only the countries we are discussing, but like a lot of other contributors have said, among even the parliamentarians. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I was fortunate to have gone to Kenya in July past, just about when they were going to elections. And for God's sake, the issues that we are discussing here, we are equally discussed over there. And if we were to take that as a yardstick, we will not be sitting here today. Nobody will come to the Australian Parliament. In Kenya, MPs are paid $12,000 a month, plus a string of so many other allowances. That being the case, because they don't only have the resources, but they as parliament demanded it, negotiated for it, and stood for it, and in the end they won. Even the little improvements we have seen in this country, in this parliament, are not uncharacteristic of what had been obtaining previously. The changes we have now seen have come in at a very short time. The Parliamentary Service Commission, as the Honorable from Port Loko said, came about as a result of the motion moved by the former minority leader, now the president of this country. The Parliamentary Service Commission has been giving us, without all the details that should come with it, and we are discussing the Parliamentary Budget Office. Fortunately, that has been approved and is going to be funded by the UNDP for 1 year. The issue of capacity building for Parliament is entirely left with members of Parliament, because there are things that you should demand and there are things that you can let go. The question, however, is, do we now have time enough to be able to do all these negotiations? Let us give the next coming Parliament the opportunity to continue the fight. I'm not saying that you should not start it today, but this should be an ongoing effort on the part of everybody who will be coming next to the next Parliament. We started those fights as far back as 1982. The Honorable Dr. Abubakar Jabe knows that, when members of Parliament then were paid a pittance, and the system here. But we have a society that is gullible. Immediately you become a parliamentarian, you are the enemy of the nation, without knowing that you have come to work for this nation. The Parliamentary Budget Office is a total requirement, because if you look at all the MPs sitting presently here, there are few of us who know accounting or who are specialists in financial management. And yet the most important function of Parliament, function number one, is the approval of budget for the executive to operate in this country. So the question of whether we have is not even a question. It should be here. The Parliamentary Budget Office should be here to advise and guide parliamentarians how they discuss and go about budget approval processes. That is the sine qua non for a Parliament. Otherwise, we are not going to be doing justice to ourselves in discussing financial matters that we don't sufficiently understand. If we didn't even have a competent financial committee in this Parliament, I wonder what we'll be doing when the next budget comes here. We need to thank the Committee on Finance for the role they are playing in advising us and in directing us. So, Honorable Members, the ball is in our own court. Fortunately, I want to submit here that we have a very listening president as of now. We don't know what will come next year when we go into elections, when there is going to be a transformation, and we're expecting a new president to be coming. The only hope is that it is going to be an APC president, and we hope he will continue to listen. I'm not being prophetic, I'm telling you the facts, and we hope when we start the budget office next year, we'll be able to continue and make sufficient provision for it, so that when the 1 year provision is finished, we'll be able to adequately fund it. Honorable Members, I want therefore, without wasting much time, since we have a bill that is coming before us, to urge that we all approve of the motion and adopt the reports that have been laid before us. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Honorable Members, before I put the question, there are a few things that I want to say. Honorable Hassan, indeed, you are certainly making a point. But the point that you are trying to make, I can assure you that that point has been overstated in this parliament. Overstated to the knowledge of everybody. What members of parliament are saying that they are certainly not disputing the fact that there has not been improvement, there has not been progress from 2007. Certainly, that is public property. That is for everybody to see. It's public property. But effectively, what they are saying is, it is not enough. They want more. It is not enough. They want more. And if they are asking for more, I dare say the request is legitimate. Swallow is not here. Kemo did say here, I was out of the country then, but I did hear that the only thing Parliament cannot do is to make a man into a woman and a woman into a man. Very true. But I tell you, when I was in Form 6, in our days we did the British Constitution instead of the government that they are doing now. Now they do government, but we did the British Constitution. When I was in Form 6, I challenged my teacher then that in fact, what the teacher is saying that Parliament cannot do, Parliament in fact can do that. Parliament can simply legislate that from now onwards, all women should go in men's dress and all men should go in women's dress. And the teacher said, well done, Dumbuya. That is a point. So there is nothing really that Parliament cannot do. As far as I'm concerned, Parliament is the most powerful institution in any country. The most powerful institution. And there is another impression, honorable members, there is another impression I want to correct. Because people have heard, or because people now know, or people talk about the Parliamentary Service Commission, they are making a very serious mistake thinking that Parliament is a commission. No. The commission is equivalent to a board. Most parliaments now have the commission. Most parliament. So, strangely, but perhaps mischievously, they are treating parliament as a commission. That is why they feel that parliament is an agency, or what is it, Mr. Clark? Is a subvented agency. That is most unfortunate. I was going to use a stronger word than that, but I leave it at that. That is most unfortunate. It's a very, very serious misunderstanding. All parliaments have this commission. The commissions exist as the board. So that is the situation. Honorable members, the question is that the following reports, which were laid on the table of the House on Tuesday, 11 April 2017, be adopted. Namely, report on a working visit to the Parliament of Ghana by a delegation from the Parliament of Sierra Leone from 19 to 24 June 2016. 2. Report on a working visit to the Parliament of Uganda by a delegation from the Parliament of Sierra Leone from 30th October to 6th November 2016. All those in favor say aye. All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Motion for the adoption of the reports of the working visit to the Parliament of Ghana and Uganda, respectively, has been carried. Bill, the Food and Feed Safety Authority Act 2017, introduction and first reading. The Minister of Health and Sanitation.
Mr. Minister, always remain in your seat until you are invited to the podium. Honorable members, if I may ask, and indeed may I ask, how many people have copies of this bill here? Those that have copies of the bill, show it, or raise your hands. Okay, put your hands down. How many do not have the bill? Put your hands down. Mr. Clerk, I'm afraid I will not allow any debate on this bill today.
Mr. Speaker.
Order, yes?
I'm not in any way attempting to challenge your authority, Mr. Speaker, but unfortunately, the office of the clerk has informed me that the bill has been circulated a long time ago, and notice has been given that this bill was going to be discussed here. And as much as I respect your decision, Mr. Speaker, but I want to call on my colleagues that in future they should ensure that they, when they are coming to Parliament, they should bring their documents. We agree that they don't have an office. We agree that we don't have an office here. But this bill was circulated, and the urgency of the matter is so important that we are requesting that they go and search for their documents. We cannot now afford to go to print and recirculate the same bill to every member of Parliament, Mr. Speaker. And thank you very much, sir.
Yes, Honorable JK.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, Honorable Members, the importance we have stressed earlier in this House, the importance of the other paper coming out before the next sitting day. Yes, indeed, the bill has been circulated, but the information of the bill being debated today was not communicated to members of Parliament. It is very important for members of Parliament to receive text messages from the whip. We have a whip and a deputy whip to notify us, or the clerk's office to notify members of Parliament, or the publication office to let members of Parliament know the agenda of the business before the House resumes. Thank you very much.
Mr. Speaker, we'll follow.
Sit down, Mr. Leader. Honorable members, the point made by the Honorable JK is also very much in place. Very much in place. And the clerk can bear me out here that I, as Speaker, because I had been a member of Parliament, I know too well that the other paper must be circulated at least a day before, particularly when times are not now normal. Simply speaking, Parliament should have been on recess by now. But we cannot because of situation. So whenever we want to meet, please let the other paper be circulated at least 24 hours before meeting. If I have my way, it should even be 48 hours. Yes, Mr. Leader.
Mr. Speaker, Honorable Speaker, we'll take your directives and proceed accordingly in the future. Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, Mr. Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I wonder if I have your permission to make an announcement now to the rest of my colleagues.
Yeah.
We are starting today and we are testing the waters today. We have a parliamentary committee meeting in room one of all honorable members of parliament.
Only.
This is a very private meeting and would want no press personnel there and no other functionary of parliament, only honorable members of parliament. There will be other announcements that were made in room one, not here. So if you don't go there, you will not avail yourself of the opportunity to hear the other announcements. The meeting will take place immediately following the adjournment by the speaker. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, announcement, Anthony.
Yeah. Announcement, a meeting is hereby summoned by representatives of the EITI for honorable members who are yet to submit their reports to the said institution. The said meeting is scheduled today in committee room one, immediately after sitting. Signed on behalf of the chairman, Ibrahim Jalo, clerk of the committee.
Yes, Ellen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I stand on SO 23 to bring two or three issues to the attention of this House. The first one is to humbly, through the Speaker of this House and the rest of the membership, to ask the executive and government to consider extending the validation or the census issues that's going on, the exhibition that's going on. Most of us were here last week and we were not informed, we didn't know that this was going to happen. We are in our constituencies now when we got telephone calls that this exhibition is going on, and it's only for 1 week. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, Mr. Speaker, is the fact that we already have an issue on our hands, which government is spending most of its time and resources on, which is the disaster that happened a week ago. And undoubtedly, that needs total attention. And most other issues have been put on hold. For instance, if I may, the other side, the lower level elections or whatever, has been put on hold, which we respect greatly. And on our side too, the lower level elections and the convention has been put on hold, which we all respect. So in that vein, I would have thought that the government would think that there are people up country that are affected by the situation that happened here, because they may have had family members that passed away and could not be traced now, and they are down here trying to locate them. So they are not able to go to their respective, what do they call it? Wards or centers to be able to check their information. On that grounds, as the people's representatives, we are pleading through you to the government that this exhibition be extended so that people will have the opportunity to actually go and check their paperwork. Added to that, even with the 1 week exhibition, a whole lot of discrepancies has happened. But I strongly believe that the NEC and all the authorities that are responsible are going to diligently take a look into those discrepancies and try to fix them. Added to that, Mr. Speaker, I want to bring also to the attention of this House that we did pass the bill for the toll road. We have ratified it, and we all were in agreement with the minister. However, I passed through the toll road yesterday morning. Today's Monday, right? Yesterday morning. And normally, I will leave Bow, which is my constituency, to come to Freetown. I will leave at 5 a.m. in the morning and get here about 8:30 without excessive speeding, obviously. Now, I left Bo yesterday at 5 a.m. in the morning to get here. And if I were coming, normally I would leave to come to get into parliament right away. I'll get dressed and sit in my vehicle so that by the time I get here, I am not late for parliament. When I let go yesterday, and I did not get here until 9:45. And this is the reason, honorable members, because at every toll point, there was traffic. There was a toll of vehicles, and I had to wait approximately about 25 to 30 minutes at all of those three. So that's a calculation. Hang on, honorable members, please.
Order, yes? Go on.
And when you put that calculation together, it's almost like an hour.
Order, honorable members. Yeah, go on.
It's almost like an hour wasted. Now, my point here is, honorable members, do bear with me. I am not criticizing as a matter of fact. I'm pointing out an issue that needs to be corrected. Because normally in countries where toll roads are being erected, there is what we call the easy pass. And that easy pass means that a lane of the toll road is set aside with an easy pass that's not been manned by humans, that's been manned by the electrical thing that you, electronic system. You have the easy pass, you fill your easy pass, you come through, and you just get through just right away. Now, the other thing is, the folks that we have put in the toll boxes, they have just learned, and they are not as pretty fast as we are
expecting. Order. Yes, go on.
They are not as pretty fast as we are expecting. So quite honestly, all I am asking this house to understand, and I'm asking through the speaker, government through the speaker, is that they talk to the Chinese folks to create an easy pass lane, which will enable. It's me today. It could be a minister. It could be somebody that's running to a private sector person that has an important appointment in Freetown that he's running to come and meet and couldn't make it. And that means loss of money for that person. So when we are doing these things, let us consider not just what it brings, but the repercussions that may come. So if I may advise, Mr. Speaker, I would like the Chinese firm, through the Ministry of Works, to inform them that an easy pass lane is really but very necessary. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Order. Honorable Kombo. Kombo, you are here. You have heard what Honorable Kwembe has had to say. Perhaps you discussed that in your committee. No, I'm not asking for any comment here now. You discussed that in the committee. Honorable Kwembe, on the first point of this voter verification thing, exhibition, you know, it is my view that the credibility of all elections all over the world, is contingent on this voter registration verification. It's contingent on that. So that is very, very serious. So let the chairman of, is it the chairman of internal affairs? Who is the chairman of, which committee deals with NEC? Local government, then please take that up. Yes, Pate. Presidential? Okay, Pate. Give him the mic.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I still stand here with a heavy heart. I just want to seize this opportunity on behalf of my constituents to express my appreciation and thanks to the leadership of this honorable house, and of course, my and of course my honorable colleagues and friends for the support, the solidarity and the visit that this honorable house and staff of this honorable house that they made to my constituency where the mudslide occurred. I want to share with this honorable house that the visit really helped in healing the healing my people. My people are traumatized and they are in pain. But the visit helps because I talked to them about it. This healing process is not going to take a month or two. Perhaps it might take up to a year. So I just want to express my appreciation and thanks to this honorable house. Thank you.
Honorable members, the point made by the Honorable J.K., Mr. Clark, it might well have been that members of parliament did know about the bill and they have the bill in their possession, but never did they know that it was going to come up today because the other paper was late. Mr. Clark, you would bear me out here. You can testify to that readily, that I'm always emphasizing this. This other paper, if I have my way, 48 hours before the time. 48 hours. Let members of parliament be in the know, for God's sake. Honorable members, the house is adjourned. But before that, Mr. Minister, we are very sorry, but I always admire your eagerness, really. I always admire your eagerness. You're always ready. You're a good worker. Keep it up. So we are very sorry, but I'm sure by next week, this thing will come up, yeah? Honorable members, the house is adjourned to Tuesday, the 5th of September, 2017 at 10 a.m.